see politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Say these four things to the Holy Spirit before you sleep. Did you know that what you whisper before closing your eyes can determine the peace you rest in, the protection that surrounds your family, the strength you rise with, and even the guidance you walk in tomorrow? In this video, we're going to uncover four powerful things that every child of God should say to the Holy Spirit before they sleep. These are not just words. They are keys. Keys that unlock rest, protection, renewal, and alignment with God's will for your life. Stay with me, because by the end of this teaching, your nights will never be the same, and your mornings will carry a new kind of power. Let's begin. Number one, thank you, Holy Spirit. Gratitude, my brothers and sisters, is not a courtesy we extend only when life goes our way. It is the posture of a heart that recognizes that every single moment, every single breath, every single protection from dangers seen and unseen is not earned but borrowed from heaven. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Notice the text does not say "for everything," but "in everything." That means in the mountaintop and in the valley, in abundance and in lack, in laughter and in tears, gratitude is not situational, it is spiritual. Saying "thank you, Holy Spirit," before you lay your head down at night is more than polite words whispered into the darkness. It is an acknowledgement that though storms may have raged today, I did not drown. Though weapons were formed, they did not prosper. Though fears whispered, they did not defeat me. Gratitude turns the ordinary into extraordinary because it shifts your perspective from what went wrong to what God made right. It is easy to complain about the job you wish you had, the house you hope to buy, the friends who disappointed you, but the Spirit calls you to thank Him for the food you did eat, the roof that still sheltered you, the body that still woke up, and the presence that never left you. Gratitude transforms your pillow into an altar, your bedroom into a sanctuary, and your night into worship. Think about this. When the Israelites crossed the Jordan and entered into the Promised Land, the Lord commanded them to set up stones of remembrance. Joshua 4:7. Why? Because memory fades. And ingratitude grows when we forget what God has done. Saying, "thank you, Holy Spirit," before sleep is like placing a stone of remembrance at the end of every day. It builds an altar in your memory that no devil can tear down. Gratitude is the language of faith. It tells the enemy, "you did your worst, but I'm still here." It tells heaven, "I trust you enough to worship you for what you've done and what I don't yet see." When you lay down tonight, recount the small blessings, the smile of a child, the provision of food, the warmth of shelter, the unseen accidents that could have happened but did not. Gratitude resets your heart. It detoxes your mind from the toxins of worry. There is a spiritual law hidden here. What you magnify multiplies. If you magnify bitterness, bitterness grows. If you magnify fear, fear consumes. But if you magnify gratitude, gratitude unlocks joy. Gratitude is the key that shifts your night from tossing in anxiety to resting in peace. The psalmist declared in Psalm 92, verse 1, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." To say thank you, Holy Spirit, is to put your soul in alignment with eternity. It says, "I recognize I could not have made it through this day without you." And when you cultivate that discipline, you begin to see miracles in mundane places. you begin to realize that the Spirit's fingerprints were on conversations you thought were casual, on delays you thought were setbacks, on detours you thought were distractions. Gratitude reveals that nothing was wasted, nothing was random, and nothing was outside of His watchful care. When you thank the Holy Spirit at night, you disarm the enemy's accusations. He cannot torment a grateful heart. You confuse the kingdom of darkness when you say, "I don't have everything I want, but I thank God for everything I have." Gratitude is spiritual warfare. It silences murmuring and elevates worship. It is the bridge between your today and your tomorrow. Gratitude keeps you humble because it reminds you that you are not self-made. You are God-kept. It keeps you hopeful because if He did it today, He can surely do it again tomorrow. And it keeps you holy because thanksgiving ushers you into His presence. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Psalm 104. You cannot approach the throne sulking. You approach it grateful, and then grace pours like oil upon your head. Number 2. Holy Spirit, I surrender my sins and burdens. Beloved, there is a profound mystery tucked inside the quiet act of laying your head on the pillow at night. Sleep is not simply rest for the body. It is rehearsal for eternity. Every night, we close our eyes as if we may never open them again on this side of heaven. To go into that sacred rehearsal, carrying unconfessed sin, carrying the weight of yesterday's failures, anger, or bitterness, is like trying to sleep while clutching a stone upon your chest. You cannot breathe, you cannot rest, and you cannot heal. The Word of God declares in 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Confession is not weakness, it is strength. It is not humiliation, it is liberation. It is spiritual surgery that cuts away the infection before it spreads into your soul. To whisper to the Holy Spirit before you sleep, "I surrender my sins, I surrender my burdens," is to unclench your fists and place your life back into His hands. It is to say, "Lord, I will not carry guilt into tomorrow. I will not carry shame into my dreams. I release it all into Your presence." Understand this. Confession is not simply a legal act where you admit guilt and walk away. It is relational. It is restorative. It is like a child crawling into the lap of a loving father who wipes away the dirt and whispers, "You are still mine." Too many of God's children lie down at night, tossing and turning, not because of the mattress beneath them, but because of the weight upon them. They rehearse grudges like lullabies, they count offenses like sheep, and they cradle bitterness as though it will comfort them. But instead, it poisons them. The Holy Spirit says, "Release it. Let me cleanse your heart, wash your mind, and guard your soul. Because if you take yesterday's poison into tomorrow's sunrise, you will wake up weary, not refreshed, heavy, not renewed." To surrender sins and burdens is to trade ashes for beauty, mourning for joy, heaviness for a garment of praise, Isaiah 61:3. Think of David, the man after God's own heart. In Psalm 32, 3-4, he confessed, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer." He was describing the torment of carrying hidden sin. Silence was suffocating him. But in verse 5, he declared, "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord,' and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Confession brought him relief, freedom, and peace. If David, the king anointed by God, needed to surrender his failures at night, how much more do we? Now let me make it plain. Surrendering your sins to the Holy Spirit is not only about what you did wrong. It is also about releasing the weight of what was done to you. Some of you go to bed dragging the chains of betrayal, the sting of words spoken against you, the stress of bills unpaid, the ache of unresolved conflict. The Spirit invites you to surrender not only your sins, but also your burdens. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." True rest is not just 8 hours of sleep. True rest is a soul unburdened by yesterday. You cannot afford to let the sun set and your heart remain bitter. Paul warns in Ephesians 4:26 to 27, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, and give no opportunity to the devil." When you go to bed angry, you open the door for tormentors in your sleep. When you release it to the Spirit, you close the door to the adversary and open the door to peace. Let this wisdom guide you. Confession is not about reminding God what you did. He already knows. Confession is about agreeing with Him so He can heal what guilt tries to hide. Burden bearing is not about making you tougher. It is about breaking you down. That's why the Spirit waits for you to say, "I surrender." Because surrender is not defeat, it is deliverance. The strongest people in the kingdom are those who know how to fall on their knees and say, "I can't carry this another step, Holy Spirit. Take it." And when you release it, you will discover a paradox. The night that began heavy will end in peace. The sleep that began restless will end in restoration. And the soul that felt condemned will rise forgiven in the morning. Number 3. Holy Spirit, protect me and my family. Child of God, night has always been a symbol of vulnerability. In the natural, when the sun sets, the world grows quiet. Shadows stretch long and the body grows weary. You lock your doors, you close your windows, you set alarms because you know that while you sleep, you cannot fight, you cannot guard, you cannot watch. But even with all the precautions of man, true safety is never in locks, alarms, or weapons. It is in the hand of God, who neither slumbers nor sleeps. The psalmist reminds us in Psalm 91:11, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." You may close your eyes, but heaven never does. You may drift into unconsciousness, but the Spirit of God is always awake. To pray, "Holy Spirit, protect me and my family," is to invite divine guardianship over your house, to recognize that your dwelling place is not kept because of brick and mortar, but because of the blood of Jesus that covers its threshold. Consider Israel on the night of the first Passover in Exodus 12. Death was moving through Egypt, but God commanded his people to place the blood of the Lamb upon their doorposts. When the destroyer passed by, he could not enter. Their safety was not in their strength, not in their spears, but in the covering of God. In the same way, when you call upon the Holy Spirit to protect your home, you are painting the blood of Jesus upon the doorposts of your family's lives. You are declaring, "No weapon formed against us shall prosper," Isaiah 54:17. You are setting a spiritual perimeter that the enemy cannot breach. You are saying, "Holy Spirit, be the wall of fire around me and the glory within me," Zechariah 2:5. That is the difference between human caution and divine protection. One is natural, the other is supernatural. There is a wisdom point hidden here. The most restful sleep is not found on the softest mattress, but under the shadow of the Almighty. You can lie on the finest bed and still toss with anxiety, or you can rest your head on a stone, like Jacob did at Bethel, and see the heavens open, because God is with you. Jacob lay down vulnerable in the wilderness, and yet the presence of God turned his camp into a sanctuary. When you invite the Holy Spirit's protection, your bedroom becomes Bethel, the house of God, the gate of heaven. Angels ascend and descend around you, ministering spirits on assignment to guard your rest. And hear me well, protection is not just for you, it is generational. When you say, "Holy Spirit, protect me and my family," you are covering your spouse, your children, your loved ones, even those far from you. Job, a man upright in all his ways, would rise early in the morning to intercede for his children, offering burnt offerings for each of them. Job 1:5. He understood that part of a parent's duty is to shield their family through prayer. In the same way, before you sleep, call your children's names, call your spouse's name, call your parents' names. Declare that the Holy Spirit will guard them in their going out and coming in. Pray not just for their bodies, but for their minds, their souls, their dreams. Ask the Spirit to build a hedge of protection around them that no scheme of the enemy can penetrate. Life is filled with threats, physical, spiritual, emotional, but the Holy Spirit is our defender. Psalm 121, 7 through 8 declares, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." When you surrender your family into the Spirit's keeping at night, you are saying, "Lord, I cannot be everywhere, but you are omnipresent. I cannot see everything, but you are omniscient. I cannot fight everything, but you are omnipotent." That is the prayer of trust, releasing control and resting in divine covering. And let me make it practical. Praying for protection is not superstition, it is stewardship. Just as you lock your doors out of wisdom, you should cover your family out of faith. To go to sleep without inviting the Spirit's protection is like leaving your door wide open in a storm. When you pray, "Holy Spirit, protect me and my family," you are closing spiritual doors, sealing cracks, and declaring that your house is under new management, under the watch of heaven's army. Number 4, Holy Spirit, renew, guide, and strengthen me for tomorrow. The Word of God declares in Lamentations 3:22 to 23, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Every morning is not just a repetition of yesterday. It is a fresh canvas painted by the mercies of God. And when you whisper before sleep, "Holy Spirit, renew me, guide me, and strengthen me for tomorrow," you are laying down your brush so that the master artist himself can prepare the colors of your destiny for the coming day. Renewal is not simply about physical rest, it is spiritual revival. Your body may lie down, but your soul is carried into the presence of the one who neither slumbers nor sleeps. You see, the Holy Spirit does not just watch over you while you sleep, he works within you. While your eyes are closed, he is opening doors. While your body is still, he is orchestrating movements in the unseen. While you are unaware, he is aligning circumstances for your good. Renewal is God's nightly gift. Guidance is his daily compass, and strength is his continual supply. This is why John 16:13 assures us, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." You don't just need guidance for the big decisions, what job to take, what house to buy, what relationship to pursue. You need guidance for the subtle thoughts, the unspoken temptations, the hidden traps that tomorrow will bring. And if you do not ask for his guidance before the sun rises, you risk walking through a day led not by the Spirit, but by the impulses of the flesh or the distractions of the enemy. Think of it this way. The world we live in is a maze with dead ends, false doors, and misleading paths. But the Holy Spirit is the guide who sees from above. When you invite him before you sleep, you are saying, "Spirit of God, tomorrow is unknown to me, but it is known to you. Lead me into truth, away from error, and into the path prepared for me." Without that guidance, even a good opportunity can become a snare. But with his guidance, even what looks like a setback becomes a setup for glory. And beyond renewal and guidance, you must also ask for strength. Because tomorrow will demand more from you than you naturally possess. Strength to forgive when you would rather hold a grudge. Strength to endure when you want to quit. Strength to speak truth when silence feels safer. Strength to keep walking when the weight of life tries to press you down. It is not willpower that will sustain you, it is spirit power. That's why Paul could boldly proclaim in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Strength is not the absence of weakness. Strength is the presence of the Spirit in the midst of weakness. Beloved, here is where wisdom comes alive. Sleep is not wasted time. It is preparation for destiny. When you say to the Holy Spirit, renew, guide, and strengthen me, you are turning your bed into an altar. The very act of laying your head down becomes an act of faith, declaring that you trust God to do overnight what you cannot do in daylight, that He will renew your weary mind, that He will whisper direction into your dreams, that He will fill your spirit with quiet power. This is why the psalmist could say in Psalm 4:8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. He knew that sleep in the Spirit's arms is not just unconscious rest, it is covenant security. Sleep in the Spirit's arms tonight and rise in His strength tomorrow. Because every battle you will face, every temptation you will encounter, every assignment you must fulfill is already waiting. But so is His strength, His guidance, His renewal. Tomorrow's victories are prepared in tonight's prayers. When you say these four things before you sleep, first, thank you, Holy Spirit. Second, I surrender my sins and burdens. Third, Holy Spirit, protect me and my family. And fourth, Holy Spirit, renew, guide, and strengthen me for tomorrow. You are not just ending a day, you are beginning a lifestyle. You are stepping into divine alignment where thanksgiving grounds your soul. Surrender cleanses your spirit, protection covers your household, and renewal equips your destiny. You rest not as one abandoned, but as one accompanied. You lie down not in fear, but in faith. And when the morning comes, you rise not in weakness, but in strength. For the mercies of the Lord are new every morning, and His faithfulness is greater than your deepest exhaustion. Amen. If this word spoke to your heart, I want you to comment right now. I choose to sleep in the Spirit's arms. Write it boldly as your declaration of faith, and let it be your reminder that tonight and every night you are not alone. The Spirit is with you, the Spirit is in you, and the Spirit is preparing you for tomorrow. And before you go, remember to like, subscribe, and share to help spread the word of God. God bless you all.